I live forever in goodness. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I live forever in goodness. My, oh my, oh my. What a wonderful way to live. What a wonderful way to experience all of life in goodness. What do we really mean by goodness? Well, I mean that which is for my highest and best. That which is for my highest and best. That's goodness for me. Now, what does it mean to be that which is for my highest and best? What does it mean that I live in that which is for my highest and best, and that that is goodness? Well, what it means is that every single moment of my life is a joy. Every single moment of my life is a delight. Every single moment of my life, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. My ideal spirit, mind, and body. That means my body is functioning at its optimum function, at its supreme function, at its ideal function. That every organ, action, function of my body is in ideal form. Now, is that possible? Is that possible that my body could function in its ideal purpose, in its ideal form, its ideal way? Could it be that my body could outpicture all of the ideal purpose which is designed within it? When you buy a new car, and you look at that new car and you say, wow, what a lovely car. But that car has certain limitations. That car has certain expectations. That car has certain programming for it. It's a car designed to be driven at 60 miles an hour or less, maybe 80, but no more than 80, because over 80, it does not function in its ideal way. Now, truly, if you were to look at the car and study it thoroughly, not just take the hype that the car dealer gives out, but study the car thoroughly, you would look at the car and you'd say, when I drive that car at 50 miles an hour, 45, 50 miles an hour, I get the best gas mileage. It gives me the best per miles on my gas that I get at any speed. When I drive it at 60 miles an hour, I get maybe 20 miles to a gallon. When I drive it at 40 miles an hour, to 45 miles an hour, I get 23 miles to a gallon. And when I drive it at 40 miles an hour or 38 miles an hour, I get 20 miles to a gallon of gas. And when I drive it at 45 to 50 miles an hour, I get my ideal gas mileage. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Now, what about the utilization of the body of the car itself, the gears and the clutch and the automatic steering, the automatic power, the automatic shifting? What about the engine? How does it function with the spark plugs and other things? Am I getting ideal performance out of that? Well, when I have quick starts, when I get up and go boom, you know, just put my foot to the metal, then my gas mileage goes down, way down. And the car is enjoying more wear and tear more severely than if I just smoothly start up and smoothly stop and smoothly drive. However I use my car, when I use it in a rambunctious way, then it has a shorter life. Now, I'm not saying we should drive our car at one speed or another. I'm just saying that when you take a car and you use a car and you purposefully try to figure out what is its ideal operating condition? At what speed does it operate at its most ideal manner? When could it conceivably, and that's an interesting term too, when could it conceivably function forever and function with the least amount of maintenance and control of it? At what speed does it function best? In what manner can the car be used for its ideal purpose? Well, for its ideal purpose, perhaps the car being driven about 38, 40 miles an hour would be at its peak performance, at its ideal performance. Its wheels maintained at a good air pressure, its operating procedure done right, making sure that it's driven on smooth, beautiful roads, making sure that it operates in its ideal condition. And to make sure that the dirt is cleaned off of the surface of the car, to make sure that the engine is given proper water, proper oils, proper work to maintain it properly. Interesting in them. Now that's just a car. And that's a car that theoretically doesn't have any feelings, doesn't have any emotion about it, doesn't have any attitude. Our attitude, of course, expresses through the car when we angrily drive it, when we happily drive it, or when we drive it for loving purposes and what have you. But just technologically looking at the car as a mechanical instrument, what is its primo operating condition? We can figure that out, and we can do our utmost to drive it at that way all the time. If the car indeed had its maiden purpose of just giving us transportation, of just taking us from here to there, of being a vehicle that we could utilize for that purpose, then that's just fine. But a car is not for that purpose only. That car is to go out on a joy trip. It's to go out to the lake cottage. It's to go out to the ocean. It's to be in new environments. It's to be in new conditions where new atmospheres and conditions of the weather affect it. It is kept in a garage, or it is kept out of doors. Wherever it is kept, all of these are factors that control the life and the wear and tear of the car. Our body is much the same way. Have we ever studied for the optimum of our body? Have we ever figured what is the most beautiful condition for our body to be operating in? Well, first off, do we give our body the foods that is beneficial to their body at all times? Do we put in the proper grade of gasoline, so to speak? Do we put in the proper grades of oil? Do we put in the proper levels of water in our water cooler system? Do we do everything properly? Do we drive at the proper speeds that the car is designed for, that our body is designed for? Do we fill our body with those esoteric things like love and peace and harmony and joy? Do we fill our body, our mind, with attitudes that make us feel like we want to go on forever? Or do we have sadness? Do we take on the unhappiness, the dirt? And do we not wash it away? We keep it on there. And then we go through other mud puddles and we get more dirt on us. Oh yes, our body is much like an automobile. And much like an automobile, it will last a good long time, an immortal time seemingly, if it is truly maintained, if it is truly taken care of in perfect shape. Now we look at cars that are built many, many, many years ago, and we call them classics because they're old and yet they're still running and they're still doing a very good job. Now, as we look at these cars, we think to ourselves, "Now, isn't that wonderful? How wonderful that car can drive and look so beautifully." Well, for one thing, a lot of love went into that car. A lot of love went into polishing it. A lot of love went into maintaining the engine and always trying to have original parts, always trying to maintain the oil level, the gas level, the greasing level of all the units. Oh, today's cars are more sophisticated, more beautiful, more fantastic. But the point is, that old car from back in the 20s and the 30s, that old car, maybe even before that, of the 1920s, we're in the 2020s now, that old car still functions beautifully, still operates wonderfully, still gets around, not as fast as some of the new ones, not as comfortably as some of the new ones with the new spring systems and what have you, but it gets around beautifully. And it's in good condition. It's not aching and creaking. It's been well maintained, well taken care of. And it goes on seemingly forever. Now, would it go on forever? Well, yes, it could. Yes, it could. But you might say financially or in any other way, it would seem unreasonable that we'd want it to go on like that. We would want it as something to look at more than something to enjoy. Because yesterday's car only drove us around at certain speeds and with certain comfort. Today's car drives us around at a great deal higher speed, at a great deal more comfort than we had ever dreamed possible in a car. We don't even put that sort of pleasure in our homes, in the seats that we sit in. Our Davenport is not as comfortable as our car seat oftentimes. And the accoutrements that we have around our car, the buttons that we push, the knobs that we turn, the controlling the air conditioning, controlling the heating, controlling the radio and the displaying equipment, the sound system that we have, controlling all the things that are controllable at our fingertips in our car. We don't even have them in our house at our fingertips, next to our chair that we love to sit in. To a degree we are, but we have not really done it as time progressed as much as we did it in our car. And that's quite interesting. We take care of our car a great deal more than we take care of our larger uses in our house. But we drive our car a lot. No, you don't. We don't drive our car as much as we are in our home. We don't drive our car as much as we are sitting in our chair in the living room watching television or talking with friends or reading or relaxing. And yet, we pay more and provide more beautiful comfort in our car than we do in our home. And we provide more beautiful comfort in our car than we do in our body. We make sure that our car has the right gas, the right oil. We don't put in anything very high octane or very low octane, which are not prescribed for our car to operate perfectly, but we do it in our body. We say, oh, that smells so good, oh, that tastes so good, oh, that looks so good, oh, my goodness, thank you for preparing such a glorious meal. And the meal is filled with things that are not beneficial to our body. They just are not. Oh, yes, they are. No, they're not. Being honest with ourselves, we know that they're not. And yet we persist in doing it. We have the ability to take care of our car, take care of our house, take care of our body. But there's another aspect to our beingness which is even greater than our car, our body, our house, and that's our mind. Our mind is like our car. It's a separate object. It operates the car, it operates the mind, it operates the body, it operates these things. But what have we chosen to put into our mind? Do we put thoughts of limitation into our mind that we cannot do certain things? Do we put thoughts of limitation in our mind that we are without the pleasure of certain things? And then sure enough we are. Do we put in our mind that we are limited in any way? Or do we put in our mind that we want to prove ourselves that we can go and run a great deal and we can do magical things? Well, I live forever in goodness. When I stop living my life for somebody else, when I stop living my life to prove myself to others, or to sometimes myself, and I just am at peace. I am delighted with who I am. Then I start living forever in goodness. Goodness is being myself and having fun. What is the ideal purpose of a car? What is the ideal purpose of a body? What is the ideal purpose of a mind? As I study these things and I am interested in these things, I find that I'm far from the ideal purpose. And I live forever in goodness only when I find that purpose and live that purpose and maintain myself within the realm of that purpose. And as I think the mind is my real purpose, then I can start thinking, yes, my goodness starts in my mind. My goodness starts in me. And I can have that classic body or the classic car, but it won't have all the comforts that the newer one has. And I can have all the classic comforts of the newer one without having a newer car, with just having a newer operating system within the car. And the operating system within the car will never change the car, but it will change our body, because my body continually moves in the direction that my mental operating system considers it to be. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal thinking system. I live in my ideal being system. I am wonderful. As I proclaim this, as I name this, as I am this, I am this. I live forever in goodness. I can think about that. I can have happy thoughts. Those are thoughts living forever in goodness. I can have thoughts of unlimited imagination. That's thinking forever, living forever. I can have thoughts that are harmonious, and it's like a grand symphony playing within me. I live forever in that goodness. I can have thoughts of harmony and peace and joy as I share with other people and talk with other people and tell them of my dreams and my desires and my goals and how I see the world and how I see everything as good and very good. My, oh my, how I can live forever in that goodness. And on I can go. And on I do go. But it's all by my choice, all by my decision. I can have a classic car that has the comforts of a classic car or the lack of comforts. Or I can live beyond the limitation that a physical object has for me. I live beyond the limitation of a body. I live beyond the limitation of anything. And living beyond it, I live in the goodness of my imagination, the goodness of my inner peace, the goodness of my total being. As I live in this goodness, oh my, do I feel good? Am I enjoying the good that I am? I am just having the time of my life, and I am thrilled to be me. You too can join me in this goodness if you wish, because this goodness is as much yours as it is mine. You can look at your body anew and see it as a beautiful, glorious thing, or you can see it as something that's getting old and time to be put to pasture. It doesn't have to be so. The choice is ours now. I live forever in goodness. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? I live forever in goodness. And so it is. I love you. I love you. I love you.